You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
What's your name?
Edward.
Do you work for Facebook?
No, but I get this a lot.
Oh, hey, neighbor.
People can be cruel, I imagine.
All unhappiness in life comes from not accepting what is. You know who told me that? Lady Gaga.
This drug seems to have the potential to actually heal you. The implications are life-changing.
My face has fallen off in clumps.
I'm sure it only looks like clumps to you.
Perhaps any potential risk is worth the reward?
Man,
can I believe my eyes? Edward! Who didn't remember me? Oswald!
Hi.
That guy's amazing. What do you know about him? Who is he? He's leading a double life.
I'm getting this feeling I've messed things up for you. Oh.
You know how we idealize people when we're in love?
So I'm the idolized version of Oswald?
It's kind of brilliant seeing you who looks like you, but you're not yourself.
Take yourself!
Let's just all start being honest with ourselves, our friend.
Well, hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion, and tonight I'm joined by Quinny, Peter, and Jill, like always, and we are reviewing A Different Man because it's a bit different.
Sorry, I appreciate that you have to do the intro a lot of the time, Dion, but that sure. that one really had the energy.
An especially phoned-in one.
it was like, oh, hello, anyway.
These three other people.
I feel like maybe I was giving that as a different version of myself just to try it out.
Okay.
Give it a bit of a walking around money version of my regular intro. Sorry, anyway. Yeah. Hello. How are we all? Good?
Hello.
Am I too much energy? Low energy? Do I need to bring it up? Or come down?
I think, what have I established here? Look, I think we should get another version of you to come in with a weird, slightly British accent. And you can
the
be
more
the
charismatic
you
British
are.
Dion.
Yeah. Who also does jujitsu, possibly Krav Maga, goes in to play with their children in the park and has a lovely time and is just right. generally better than you in general.
Yeah.
You can stand for that?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Get the better version of me. No problem.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll get the non-goateed version of you. That's
non-goateed version. No, you don't want to see that. Nobody wants to see that. It's terrifying.
Peter, how are you?
I'm great.
Amazing.
It's warm. It's a little warm.
Yeah.
A little. Oh, okay. Right. I just love the searching for the word. I'm. What's another lie here?
Yes, the brain, it's working. Is that the whole the brain muscle? It's fine. I can have a conversation.
Yay! Good.
But excellent. Yeah, maybe that's the thing. Are we having the conversation with the real you, or are we having a conversation with the stylistic version of you?
I don't even know at this stage. Let's be honest there.
Fair enough. I don't think anyone really knows.
I'd like to have a play written about me that I don't star in. I think that'd be fun.
I
just want to take the substance.
I think as a thesp Quinny, like if someone made a play about you and then just slowly edged you out of the play until by the end you're just watching it from the sideline, you'd be like,
yeah,
what the fuck?
Yeah. And no, Pritikanga. Unfortunately, Avenue Q is not about this Q.
No, but cul-de-sac.
I thought they wrote the internet is for porn about your search history.
Yeah. Grab your dick and double click for porn. Yeah.
Well, it's touted as a dark comedy. A Different Man. That's what we're talking about tonight, isn't it? Sebastian Stan, A Different Man. I like alliterative titles and people who are in the quasi lead.
Yes. Yeah. So why are we reviewing this one? Where did this one come onto our radar?
I picked it.
Yeah.
Seb always does some interesting indie films. And we watched The Apprentice last year now.
Yeah.
Late last year.
What is time?
Yeah.
What is time?
That,
yeah.
He did win an award for.
You mean 16 years ago when we watched that film?
Yes, in the before times.
Yeah, so he's been making some interesting choices.
He's been known to make a few indie films in his time, like outside of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So, yeah, I thought why not
watch some we've liked, some we've not liked others.
Yeah, so fresh. I liked fresh.
Like fresh. I was down for fresh. What else? There was The Apprentice, which we had feelings on. What else? What has he done recently?
You can Google it later if you like.
I can. Yeah. That is correct.
Fucking hell. And that's all the information you're getting, dear audience.
You know what? You don't listen to this thing for, informed information or anything like that. Go and Google it.
Well, shit, I didn't know I had to bring notes with me. Fuck.
No, sorry.
I love after, S Club January, we're now into low to no energy February.
Because we've just seen so much.
I mean, we're reviewing a different man. Yeah, man, Google it.
It's because AI bots can do this now anyways.
Oh God, yes. Fuck it. Let's just put the email, put the IMDb into the AI bot.
No.
Look, if I was getting paid to do this podcast, then maybe I'd bring notes.
We all bring mental notes to this. Come on, what are you talking about?
We do, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, we all watch the film, yes?
We do.
Yes. Yes. Well, there's a start.
Yay!
Let's go.
We're all up to speed this week. Yay. And you can too. If you want to watch A Different Man, it is available on streaming services in Australia, which I won't name unless it's for money.
Yeah. Because if Murdoch gets the money, then we want the money.
Yeah.
And that will give you a clue as to where you can find it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you can find it on a bunch of them, but you have to rent it at all of them. I couldn't find anywhere that actually had it streaming.
The Murdoch one.
But it's a paid service, it's which it is.
If you're going to spend money,
pay for that service, it's not free.
There's a cool T-shirt you can buy that's about Murdoch that came out recently that Grace Tame wore. Yeah. So, if you're going to spend money, maybe check that
one out. Spend money on that,
yeah.
Absolutely. Right. Do you want to know what the film's about? Shall we?
Please. Let's start with that.
Now, the difficulty here is there is no accent. Like,
no.
I could do shitty Cockney, but no, I'm not going to. Honestly, I don't think there's a way to do that respectfully in any way, shape, or form.
Can you do, could you not do shitty New York, Brooklyn landlord accent? There you go. Hey, I'm walking here.
Fuck you. That was my first line. Hey, I'm existing here. An aspiring actor undergoes a radical medical procedure to drastically transform his appearance. However, his new fucking dream face, quickly turns into a nightmare as he becomes obsessed with reclaiming what it is that he's lost. A different man. Starring Sebastian Stan. Anyway, your rent's due on the 15th. Don't forget.
Beautiful.
Thank you. That's
what we live for in these ways.
That's all I am now. I'm just the dancing monkey.
Do an accent, Quinny. Yeah, dance monkey.
I'm fine with it.
When did this one come out? It came out last year, technically, didn't it? 2024.
Yeah, end of last November. Year.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting film. Very stylistic. Jill, it's your choice. So I say have at it to begin with.
Yeah, I think the thing that made me interested in the film, besides it being a Sebastian Stan film, was the face that was included in the marketing for the film. I'm like, what what's this about? And I looked into it, and it's not explicitly mentioned in the film, but it's about a character that has neurofibromatosis. Thank you. Neurofibromatosis, which is a genetic condition that is in the nerves, and it can cause tumors to grow on the body, on the face. It can also cause conditions like epilepsy and other brain function abnormalities. It can appear in different forms in the body. It's a film about a guy that has this condition who undergoes a substance-like transformation and lives in a new face. And it's him coming to terms with, trying to integrate into society that he has, extradited himself from for his whole life because he couldn't overcome the way he looked. And then also meeting a gentleman that has the same condition who lives a very carefree lifestyle.
I found it really interesting the way that the NF was kind of looked at in a way, because the first part of the film where you're watching Sebastian Stan with the makeup, to be clear, the character of Edward is played by Sebastian Stan, and he is in quite incredible makeup.
Like, it's the same makeup team that worked on The Penguin that did Colin Farrell's whole penguin look.
Right. Wow. Okay. That's impressive. Mm. So, he's there in the makeup. And what I found interesting was that I didn't feel like the world was particularly unpleasant to him.
No.
Like, I think there could have been a version of this that painted him more as a victim and the world as being more unfair.
Yeah.
Peter, your eyes went squinty.
I think it's definitely like more from his perspective that he's kind of ostracizing himself.
Mm.
I think that's the beginning of what I found kind of surprising about the film. I have to admit, based on the poster or even the trailer, I probably wouldn't have watched it. Mm-hmm. And I went into it kind of assuming that there would be some shitty representation issues happening this plot, because why would I not assume that there's always going to be shitty representation issues? But it does this really weird thing where it calls itself out on that, in that regard,
yes,
constantly, and that is what the film is.
Yeah,
in a very strange way, but successful way. So it in that way it very much kind of defied my expectations about what I was about to watch and what it was going to try to say and how it was going to say it. Generally, if I'm going into a film that is about a person who may be marginalized in any way, and that person is being played by somebody who is not marginalized in the same way, and particularly if that involves some kind of makeup, I'm going in there thinking, no.
Yeah.
but the film literally addresses that exact thing, and it turns it inside itself in very much like a film within a film kind of manner. So it really very much kind of defied my expectation, both of what the story was going to be and what it was going to try to say and how successfully it would do that.
Yeah. Yeah,
And I think a big part of that is that the actor who is
Adam Pearson,
who is the actor that plays the man that Edward meets partway through the film after his face has been changed, is a person with facial difference, so is the right person to be playing that role, and even the way that role is written and played just keeps turning those expectations on their head again and again and again, even insofar as the way that his character is reacting to the same thing happening within the story. So it's quite a little clever little nesting doll of expectations being turned on their head again and again and again as you keep watching it, which is interesting. Strange film. Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't want to call out the elephant in the room with this, but, I mean, this is really the comparison that I kept coming to with this one was to The Substance. And it is quite funny about the release of both this film and The Substance, and sort of doing them as a twofer is interesting to me, because we saw The Substance and was like, oh, that's great. And, you know, The Substance came out, that was at Cannes first, and then it released in September. And this one, A Different Man, was at Sundance first and then released in September at the same time. And you've got two very different reactions from people about it. Like The Substance, very highly regarded and quite fairly. And then this one, you know, quite well regarded, but just didn't have any kind of box office success or over success with it. But it's very interesting to do it. And I've always found myself comparing them. And that might be unfair too, by the way. Mm. Like, I felt like I was watching it and I was like, ooh, but wait, what's this one about? And what's this one about? And I had certain problems with the story, but I didn't have a problem with the representation that we had in there.
At their core, A Different Man and The Substance are different narratives. Yeah. They just kind of center around
society's view and like the observer's view about what do we consider attractive, what does that represent, how do people engage with that as individuals, and what does it mean to people, and maybe it's not always the thing that it's cracked up to be. So it's an interesting twofer.
With A Different Man, though, it's kind of like, okay, here's that narrative again about, you know, people's expectations of attractiveness and beauty and standards and all that kind of stuff. But like, this film is kind of like, okay, but let's talk about from the perspective of the person that is the subject, the one that doesn't think they fit within those standards, and then somebody that becomes that standard, and then what is that mental internal process that happens in that regard.
And I think there's a lot of it that is also about, I mean, it's interesting to place it alongside The Substance, because there is that a lot of that question of what's inside versus what's outside and what the core being of a person is. Mm. And that you see very much through this that Edward is at his core somebody who is insecure, who doesn't fit comfortably in the world, and that kind of doesn't have anything much to do with his externality. I mean, it probably has come from his externality over years and years of feeling like he didn't belong or whatever, or feeling judged, looked at. But then you've got Oswald, who does look like that, but his internal world is so much more, you know, positive, and just everything that he comes to, he kind of attacks with great fervor and excitement. And and what I found funny was that even though then it's exploring two different parts of the same kind of person, the same thing, I know Oswald's meant to be great, but fuck, he annoyed me.
His confidence was bordering on arrogance.
Yes. And I love that too, because it is saying that, you know, even though he is a person who has facial differences, he can also still be a bit of a dick, because he's a rounded person. He can still, you know, be there with the intent of kind of undermining you, and, you know, and you can say all the nicest things in the world but still be a fucking dick at something. It was, yeah, and I like what you said, Pete, that I love that it did kind of subvert expectations pretty much every time it could.
Yeah, and then there's an element of absurdist comedy in there, which, you know, I like me a little bit of absurdism, even if it ends up in a kind of a weird final product that you can't really quite describe and you're not really quite sure how you feel about it.
Yeah, I mean, classic A24 film, am I right?
Yeah. Hey.
But there were, in terms of, like, dark comedy, like, there were some of those just absurdist moments that were... that were, you know, fairly amusing. And you know, there were some bits that I mean, trigger warning for body horror. We all decided that I shouldn't watch The Substance because I don't like body horror, so I didn't. Then I watched this and...
Yeah, it was milder compared to The Substance.
Yeah, but if you don't like that kind of thing, there is some stuff.
Yeah, you might need to close your eyes for a grand total of, like, 20 seconds.
And, you know, it's fairly intense thematically if you are somebody who, you know, does experience anything like the character Edward experiences. I certainly wouldn't go into it lightly, particularly the first act of the film where you don't know where it's going. You don't know where it's going, and it's quite a bit it's quite uncomfortable in terms of, like, where are we going with this? Because I'm not sure I'm comfortable with where we're going with this. You know, it's even though it's billed as a comedy, there's some heavy shit in there. So I'd just be, you know, aware.
A long time to get to anything that felt like a comedy, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, there's quite a bit of heavy shit in there, particularly in the first act that you know, needs a bit of navigating. So beware as our viewer.
Not an easy breezy kind of show for, you know. And I think you're quite right. Like, about 20 minutes in, I was like, I don't know where this is going or what this is trying to be, but so far I don't know where the comedy bit is in this dark comedy. It took a little while.
Yeah, it really wasn't until, like, sort of the tail end, maybe act three, that the comedy kind of becomes a comedy.
Yeah, that absurdism really starts to shine through in the third act.
Yeah.
It's kind of plot-wise goes off the rails as well, but, like, I don't know.
Sure.
And there are some bits early on that I actually found this really hard to go to watch. Like, not necessarily the body... stuff or anything. It goes out of its way for probably the first act to be loud and jangling, and a lot of the experiences of, you know, him going to a bar or whatever, you know, it feels uncomfortable. Like, there's a couple of sequences with car alarms and stuff like that I was just like, fuck, we're really going out of our way to make this an unpleasant film to watch. And it's shot in a very 70s kind of...
I fucking hated that. I'm sorry. If there's one thing that shat
Don't
me
you
more.
Love grain?
Oh, I loved it. I was about to say, it's nice to see a bit of grain.
No, I hated it. It looked like they'd shot it.
Oh, come on.
They shot it on something, but it felt like they put, like, a fucking lens over it. Like,
they shot it on 16mm.
Oh, wow, like, nice.
Yeah.
I didn't know they shot it. But, I mean, I kind of, it added to what I thought, made it feel like
affectatious.
Made it feel like a film school student product.
Oh, yeah, you got to do those little pop-in zooms. And
There are a couple of times where I was like, okay, like, it was almost like it was trying to do a bit of the cinema verite, but that kind of quasi-documentary sort of thing, like fly-on-the-wall camera, where you're seeing the camera zooming in on somebody and you're not sure whether or not they know they're being observed.
Mm.
And there are a few times I was like, are we doing that? No, we're not doing it. Are we? I don't fucking know. Where are we here?
I didn't like it. Look, it was just, it annoyed me as part of it, and that's just me, so that's okay. I'm not the target audience for this.
I mean, we've watched a couple of things recently that are deliberately designed to look like they've come from a particular era.
Another Sebastian Stan.
Yeah. To me, like, the choice here, it made it feel like it was designed to feel like, you know, an indie film shot in New York, like in the 90s.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't mind that aesthetic. That, like, that did not, I was like, hey, Grain. I haven't seen Grain for a while. This is great.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is the sort of... I think you're right.
It feel physical.
It felt like a student film shot in the 90s because they couldn't afford the SVHS recorder, but they could get their old 16 mil, you know, dad's or mum's, you know, recorder that they did have. You know, that's how they shot it. And it had a bit of that Mallrats kind of... Oh, not Mallrats, sorry, a bit of the Clerks kind of vibe about it. And I was just kind of a bit annoyed, but like, come on, man. You guys have so much money involved in this that you can see on the screen, you know, because everything's quite well done. But it just irritated me for it. Sorry.
No, you don't have to be sorry. That's your opinion.
It's wrong, I know.
No. I mean, the fact that we all liked it and you didn't, that doesn't mean that you're wrong. It just means that you're ostracized.
Fuck, the buses have been coming thick and fast for me today. I just, like, all the buses that got driven over me before
only
we started.
Only because we love you and we wanted to watch it with the Grain.
Oh, dear.
There's a character in there that we haven't actually talked about too much.
Yes. I was going to bring up Ingrid.
Yeah, I was going to say. Played by Renata Reinsver. Reinsver? Yeah.
She's Dutch or Norwegian. No, what is she? Norwegian.
European.
She's from Oslo.
Yeah, Norway. That's better, and probably hates me now because I said she was a Dutch.
I was going to say Elske Norge would be in the chat any second, telling us where she's from and where she was born, and you know all of her films up until this point. Yes. What do we think of her?
She's the perfect epitome of someone who I've met before.
Oh,
yes. Just in that way of just
interesting character. I'm not quite sure if she's supposed to act as the audience or as like a stand-in for society. I'm not sure, because she never has a problem with Edward and his facial difference, like never, you know, makes a big deal out of it, doesn't really ask him about it, but then at the same time is like is ignoring something that is so physically obvious also part of the problem about not understanding people with facial differences or visible physical disabilities, etc. So, and yeah. Quite complicated with her interactions between both Edward and then later with Oswald and the relationships.
And the question as to why the what it is that she was attracted to in Edward, facial difference or whatever aside, Edward is not somebody that you kind of go, yeah, I am drawn.
No, because he's like so reclusive and like doesn't really give up much about himself and like his personality or anything like that. So don't know if it was a pity relationship. And there's also that weird thing around the typewriter.
I actually found that typewriter gag amazing by the end.
Yes.
By the end of the film, I was like, best gag in the whole film. And it wasn't even purported as a gag. Like, it is not a gag.
That's just the comedy for you.
Yeah. It's a bit of Chekhov's gun. Also, it is a Chekhov's gun because no one ever writes on it. It never gets used.
Oh, no. There's a note. There is a note.
It gets passed around.
I found
thoughts on Ingrid?
Ingrid, like, interesting character. Like, you know, I liked that she is probably the worst and best person, but I feel like I connected more with the fact that she's a bad person. And I was like, I don't like her. She's actually a bad person. And not that she does bad things or is not a, you know, outwardly bad person. She just makes very selfish and self-involved calls right throughout the film that she only looks good because everyone around her is actually nicer. But yeah, she kind of did give me that sort of thing. It's like, oh, it's like this ingenue theatre writer that has come out and made this wonderful thing, which isn't really her thing. Exactly. And then gone through and had this whole career and then ends up in precisely the place where I would expect her to be. And I won't spoil that for anyone who hasn't seen it. That last scene in the diner was, or the restaurant was great. But yeah, that's frustrating. Like, great. Like, in that sort of character, very memorable. Hated that one. Like the other two. Actually, didn't really like Sebastian Stan by the end, but I really liked Oswald. And yeah. Anyway.
I honestly think all three main characters kind of had their. I think they were all designed to you kind of have moments where you kind of like them and moments where you're like, wow. I think it wasn't just Ingrid that was like that. I think that they were all like that. Everyone had their kind of individual moments. You know, Edward had his arc, but I found that you could still empathize with Edward throughout his arc. But, you know, I even thought, as you said before, Quinny, like Oswald had his moments. Like,
yep.
All around great guy, but he definitely had his moments. Like, he knew what he was doing. I don't think that any of them were supposed to be kind of painted like they weren't acting in self-interest the whole way through. And I guess everybody is fallible everybody makes poor choices, particularly about the way that they treat other people sometimes. I think the interesting thing about this, like you said earlier, Quinny, is that the poor choices that people are making around how they treat other people aren't the obvious ones that you would consider would be in a directed towards a character in this kind of world with this kind of facial difference. But again, it's that kind of subversion of what you expect the character's challenge to be in the film as opposed to what it ends up being is how the film says what it's trying to say. So it's just that kind of constant folding in on your own expectations and prejudices, even as the audience member expecting to see things a particular way when you watch the film. It's really interesting in that regard. I really did not enjoy the first 30 minutes. and Act Two then gave that first 30 minutes, like, you know, a little bit more context. I probably wouldn't have kept watching. If I'm going to be honest, like, if we weren't going to talk about it, I would have been done when a body horror started. I would have been like, no, I'm not, this is...
Right.
Fair enough.
I mean, it is an interesting one. You know, it's like, oh, I don't know about this film. I kind of watched it. I'm like, I'm not sure. And I had the same kind of reaction, like, you know, 30 minutes in. I was like, I don't get this. but by the end, I kind of got, like, the rest. I was like, okay, no, I see what this was talking about. This is.
And then in the last 10 minutes, you're like, no, 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 I don't get this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It subverts itself to the point where the tail end of it, you're just like, what?
Yeah, any work that it did to, like, think it was doing some amazing storytelling just kind of flips on its head in that final scene and you're like, what?
But in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of leaves me with a few questions.
Yeah, 100%.
But I don't think we're supposed to get the answers.
No, no. Again, it's obviously doing that on purpose, but it's kind of like, okay, I understand the purpose of 85% of this film.
It's kind of like, hey, don't take it so seriously, guys. It's just a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, and to, like, say about that, it's a long movie. Like, it's 2 hours, 156, 1 hour, 56 minutes.
It wasn't quite two hours.
No, 4 minutes under, come on.
look, in our three-hour world.
True.
I'll take it was practically flying along.
Yeah, it's only two episodes of periodic television. I feel like, the first half kind of dragged a lot for me until we started to get a little bit more interested into the calamity of the whole, like, what's the point of this? Where are we going with it? It picked up a lot, I agree, when Oswald, the character, was introduced, and then it started to get a bit more interesting and have some better outcomes, and then it goes a little bonkers, but not in the substance bonkers.
No, again. Though occasionally towards the end, there are a couple of moments when I was like, fucking righto. Okay.
I think it had just as much of an impact as that movie because those sort of things that happen, unlike in The Substance where it's just like, oh, I have to go with this now because it's in my face and I can't get away from it. Like there's no looking away from it. We just have to go with it. This one still has a bit of like, wow, that happened. Oh, okay. That's a turn. Or that's a thing that I have to process while the story keeps going. So it's interesting that way. But I feel like you could have 30 minutes cut out of it.
I don't know where though.
Well,
I wouldn't.
Do you want to add 30 minutes? Do you want to see do you want to see eventually them go to Canada and see what happens there?
Yes, totally. I mean, that you could have another extended scene with Sebastian Stan's dong.
Wait, his dong? Was his dong in this?
What were you watching, Dion?
The danger of double screening, Dion.
Maybe I just zoned out. Maybe whenever I see, that it's just white noise and I'm like.
Yeah, no homo.
Yeah. There's also a lot of stuff with the mask, and I thought that was really interesting because, like, that is then getting into my old territory of theatre shit of commedia dell'arte and, like, what mask you put on to portray a character and then how much of that is you acting through the mask. Mm-hmm. And then that is asking some of the same questions of neurofibromatosis of how much of you is still coming through. It's all you, but there is something, a facial difference or whatever that it may be in the way. And I actually really enjoyed the fact that the first act, there are quite a few people that have facial differences of different kinds. That was like, okay, yeah, we're going to get a lot of different people to show. It comes in all different colors, shapes, sizes, whatever. They're all still just people.
I think that's probably the main difference between Edward and Oswald as characters. Oswald is all Oswald. And seems to entirely live his life, with that philosophy. Whereas, Edward is regardless of which face he has, is very internalized, very withdrawn. I guess the question being whether he withdrew because of external forces or because of internal forces or both. Mm-hmm. But then, the changing his face didn't allow him, to change that part of him that was so withdrawn. And that's, kind of part of the exploration there. And then, not being able to communicate that was his experience. That was his lived experience as well. And his commentary on choices that Oswald and Ingrid are making in regard to the character and how they're changing the plot of the play is a commentary that somebody with that lived experience would be quite rightfully making. And yet, because he no longer outwardly can show evidence of that lived experience, there's, again, it just kind of, it folds in on itself.
It really
in
does.
In many ways.
And there's that whole thing where they're talking about Beauty and the Beast. And which, I love that.
Clearly horrendous take, which Edward rightfully points out.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Who's the beast here? And when am I the beast? And when is, like, and if I'm the good looking one after things have changed, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like as surfacey as this is, I feel like this is almost like the end of Shrek, it was like if the ogre had turned into a beautiful young man, that film would have been fucked. But because spoilers, Princess Fiona turns into an ogre, you know, that then means a different thing. And there's all of these fucking layers.
I feel like you're breaking the contract with the audience and you just can't have that, Quinny.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's a line from the movie that we just talked about. Well, yeah.
And the thing is, like, as a theater person, holy shit, I have been in those rooms. I have been in those discussion things where you're workshopping stuff and going, no, there is a contract between us and the audience, and there is an honesty, and we have to keep the person.
I feel like the film very successfully showed the terrible working process of going through a theater play with a bunch of creative and artistic people, just putting ideas out there and trying to justify them, and then half them get on board with it and the other half don't get on board with it, and then there's like discussions about it, but eventually a director wins because that's what the director's there for. Like, it's quite interesting. It was interesting to me to watch. Sort of sitting there going, oh no, not one of these theater rooms.
And the worst thing is, it is very much in the style of experimental theater. So it's not like, I mean, yes, there's a script, but they're also
off Broadway.
Off Broadway. Oh man. Sorry, I was just looking at the chat and realized that Missy had thought that we were talking about Better Man, which is.
Which must be well. Quick disclaimer: in a different man, no monkeys.
No. Robbie Williams nowhere to be found.
Yeah. No, Robbie Williams is still at the Star Casino talking about the actors, which is hilarious. Should we go to a clip and then rate it, or do you want to rate it and come back? Yeah. What do you feel like? Speaking of theatre, it just seemed like a good segue at the moment because the clip is about the theatre process. So let's have a look into the theatre. Love it.
Would you like to stay and watch?
Oh, I'm developing somewhat of a reputation of intruding where I'm not wanted.
No, not at all. Really. It will be nerve-wracking for us. The play's still very nascent. Nothing is set in stone.
Oh, everyone's so self-conscious in showbiz. I love it. Though I am intrigued by this whole process, I have to admit.
Well, if you're not too busy.
No, I mean, I've just had jiu-jitsu practice, so I'm a bit sweaty. But other than that, I was just going to sit in the park and read my book.
What are you reading?
The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison.
That's one of my favourite books.
Really? Oh, no way. As it so happens, I was inspired by Guy to pick it up. He's got these piercing blue eyes. And when I first saw them, I was like, that reminds me.
I never noticed your eyes, Guy. Okay, sit anywhere you want. Cool. It will be boring stopping and starting. Okay.
You walk down here.
Yeah, scene 16. Yeah, just from the top. Okay, and then it's, okay.
I was sad when he offed himself in the end.
Yeah, well, it's a tragedy.
I mean, I know, there's nothing can really be done about it, and I really like Edward. I'd rather pass the chat, well, of course, to the suicide. But honestly, I was really hoping Edward and Fiona would live happily ever after.
Yeah.
But then, what do the audience believe in?
I love your accent.
I get that a lot. You Yanks love my mellifluous lyrical silence. But back at home, I'm just a bloke. No one pays any attention to me at all. Oh my God, we should have Edward have an accent. I reckon the critics would find it a really classy endeavour.
That's a great idea. Guy, speak like Oswald.
I can't.
You can.
Come on, hello, mate. How's it going?
Hello, mate.
Yeah,
how's the old lady doing?
How's the old lady? Doing.
I mean, it needs some refinement, but we'll get you there.
And you do an American accent.
I could have been a contender.
Yeah.
Adrian! I am not a crook.
Wow, that's amazing. Why can't you do that?
She's not playing Master Howard after all.
Yeah, you I do can... that.
That line where she says, oh, I never noticed your eyes, Edward. It just fucking kills me. Like, this bitch is so fucking self-centered.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Just an interesting point there where Guy, the new guy, Edward, who has become now Guy, starts to realize he's being out personality by, you know, someone who's just come in and is actually more fun than he is, and realizes that sometimes, you know, the personality is the point. Anyway, there's a lot to unpack in the film. That was just great theatre stuff. Watching someone.
Yeah. But also, like, from a theatre perspective, the idea of some outsider coming in and going, oh, you should have an accent, I would be like, yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Especially when there's a lot of positivity around that, which is like, why, what do you mean?
Yeah. You don't get to tell me what the fuck I should do.
Should we rate this? What do you feel? How are you feeling on it? Feelings, thoughts, anything else you want to say about it first, though? Is there anything you don't think we've covered?
Do we want to get spoilery?
I'm knowing that there's not a lot of people who've seen stuff in there, like I'm like, I don't want to spoil the last kind of bits and pieces of it and the sort of ending of it. I feel like I don't want it. If anyone else wants to, I can put up the logo. Fine. And go that.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Sure. I don't think so. Like, honestly, I think this is one of those ones that, what I would say is that you're going to be tempted to not watch it all the way through because it is, there's a bit of a barrier to entry and it can feel a bit slow and stuff like that. But the longer you watch, the more it rewards you.
Sure. And there was a reference to like a Woody Allen-esque discussion at the start, and I felt it kind of got a little bit like that Woody Allen fly on the wall docuseries joke stuff, and then it comes just rapid fire strange situations that occur for like the last act, and that's great. That was when you're just like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, it gets real weird.
Yeah.
Gets weird. Who wants to start? Anyone? No.
I'll start. Yeah.
Go, Jill.
Oh, give it a 75. I know I picked it. I did kind of enjoy it, but like, it was just so weird. The ending. I'm just like, why did you have to be weird? Why couldn't any part of this just be somewhat grounded in reality and like give me something a bit more theological to gnaw on at the end? Instead, I got like, oh, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened.
We're
like,
gonna go do this
anyway. Yeah, I'm like, damn it. And now I don't really understand the ending, so it kind of made me a bit angry. But the performances I really enjoyed. I thought everyone did a fantastic job. Sebastian manages to do this incredible thing where he physically shrinks into himself when you can tell that he's becoming self-conscious and retreating. And it's amazing to see that physicality performance from him, especially like through a mask in the first act of the film, like acting through that other face. So, decent.
I'll go next because fuck it, why not? I found it very strange. And my number went up as the longer I watched. If you'd asked me half an hour in, I'd be like, the fuck no. 50. But as things went on, I was like, oh, okay, right. Oh, there's the comedy. Oh, now there's some weird shit. Now there's some absurdism. Right, okay, now this is a whole meal. I'm gonna go 78. It's got that, you know, I'm kind of like you, Dion. Sometimes that forced student filmy vibe, that faux 70s film.
What time period are we? We don't know.
You know,
we're not supposed to be reading the time period, I don't think.
No, I don't think it's meant to be a time period, but it is that thing. If you're using a 16mm film and shooting it in New York, you can't help but have a certain kind of feeling of like, what are we doing here? So, yeah, that doesn't always work for me, but yeah, it's an interesting film. It's worth a look. Next.
I think it's Peter's go, yes.
I think it is. It's another one of those odd ones for me where, like, I would find it hard to recommend to most people because most people I know wouldn't cope with an odd, arty film. This was a shit that I used to love in film school and I couldn't get anyone to fucking watch it with me. It does kind of have that feeling of a film that somebody has made to be clever. But in this case, I actually think that they pulled off a lot of what they intended to do, which took a fairly invisible amount of finesse in the performances and the storytelling and the form and style of what we watched. So I'm having that kind of like film student difficulty of like, wouldn't ask my mum to watch it. I do think it did a good job, particularly like, you know, weaponizing my own expectations and prejudices against me as part of my experience of the film quite deliberately, I thought was a clever way to tackle a subject that I didn't expect. So I'm going to go 79. And I'm going to recommend also that if you're interested in watching this, it might be worth seeking out some reviews from people who have similar experiences to Edward and not just us. Because, you know, we've experienced this film from a very particular perspective, and I suspect the experience might be less academic and, you know, maybe more insightful from somebody with NF1 or facial difference or, you know, who has lived a similar experience to Edward and Oswald.
Yeah.
Dion.
Thanks. Should I review it as that, a different Dion? Just like the opening. Look, I'm giving it 65, not because I think it was a bad film. And I think, yeah, like part way, you know, I'm like, I don't know about this one. What the hell's going on? And then by the end of it, I was like, it's actually got some fun and interesting things to say, and the way that it talks about things and the way that it has some representation in there for people with facial difference, which was quite good, because I think we didn't actually mention that there was a whole other, there's a bunch of other people represented in the film in, you know, what could be considered, you know, a better way, like a way that's not kind of putting them on screen because that's the reason they're there. It's showing them the integrations, the way that they work and exist in that way. It's hard to talk about it without trying, like, sounding as if you're like, oh, well, I'm going, oh, they're there because of this reason. No, they're in the film for a good reason, and they're represented as people as they should be. And I quite enjoyed, you know, that in there, in the way that it, which is a side story to the main character, to sort of going through. So yeah, look, 65 was my thing. It shat me with the fucking 70s styling / film student thing, but that's okay. I agree with you, Jill. The way Sebastian Stan is able to withdraw himself in a scene, because he's the one that you're looking at, you're going, oh, it's a Sebastian Stan film. And I'm like, you don't know how far he's not in this film until you see it. And you go, this is really not Sebastian Stan's film. Sebastian Stan just happens to be in the film as this person. So I thought that was a really good job. But yeah, I liked it. It's a different film. And that's what I kind of liked about it.
Yeah, we'll do something a bit different every now and again.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make up for the start of the show where I completely forgot the other indie films that Sebastian was in, and bring you other indie films that Sebastian Stan starred in also with his dong. That would be Monday and The Bronze, which is my personal favourite.
And Pam and Tommy.
Oh, Don, yes, he did stick out in Pam and Tommy. But we don't watch that one because it's problematic.
Yeah, and also there are rumors that it's not actually his dick in that one.
Come on, man.
It may have been a prosthetic.
It's never those. It's never the real one. It's always the screen one.
Screen dong.
Screen dong.
I do love that this is a film that has so many things to say, and we've ended it on dicks.
Yeah. That's just par for the course.
Good work, everybody.
I wonder if he's going to get his dick out in Thunderbolts.
I don't know.
He might.
I don't know. Can you get it out in iTonya?
No.
No.
I
don't think so. I must admit, I watched the trailer for Thunderbolts, the Super Bowl trailer, and that's got me quite excited. I thought that looked like a lot of fun.
Did I miss? Can I ask a question? This is off topic. I mean, nothing to do with the different man.
Hey, that's it. The different man's done. We're done talking about that.
Okay.
We are now in open waters. We are sailing the seas of whatever.
Is it just me, or was there not a lot of movie/TV big superb owl trailers this time around? Or did I just not see them? Like there was the kind of teaser Guy Gardner thing for Superman.
Oh. Yeah.
Which was nothing. And then
you know what? I haven't Thunderbolt. Seen any of them. And the only ad that I did see was the weird Mountain Dew Baja Blast one with Seal in it.
Which I haven't seen.
Which was I never fucking saw that. Weird and funny.
I did like that one though that they did have, which is the Hellman's Mayonnaise. When Harry Met Sally one. Because the shooting thing is like, what are you guys filming? It's a mayonnaise commercial. And this time it was actually a mayonnaise commercial they were filming in Katz's Deli, where they filmed like the Harry Met Sally one. I thought that's funny.
We got a Mission Impossible short, you know, with Tom Cruise hanging off things again.
Yeah.
Sure. We got a Thunderbolts trailer, which was probably the biggest one. Slightly surprising that there was no Captain America thing there, but then again, also look who was in attendance. What else? There was a tiny Lilo and Stitch thing, but
yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
there like
was it?
Yeah,
yeah, it was like Stitch was loose on the football field.
Was there a How to Train Your Dragon trailer?
Oh yeah,
that thing looks like AI.
Like, I love How to Train Your Dragon, and I look at that and I'm like, I will watch it, but at the same time I'm annoyed because it's just a shot for shot remake.
Yeah. Like, why do we need to do it in live action?
Why?
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh my god, the vitriol online for the Snow White live action.
Oh, I didn't watch
You've
that.
Seen
one.
That? Holy shit!
Yeah,
I'm really giving that a hard time.
Is it because of Gal Gadot?
No, it's just but why?
Oh, right. Yeah. Just why did we need this? We don't need this.
Right, no. Okay.
And like, why did you have to have 7 computer graphic dwarfs?
Can I run through this quickly? I just found a list of stuff that was played during the Super Bowl, so you can give me your quick feedback on it. Smurfs, okay. How do we feel about that?
Don't give a fuck.
I have seen the Smurfs trailer. I'm like, whatever.
Jurassic World Rebirth.
I'll watch it.
Give me Jonathan Bailey and his slutty little glasses, please.
Amazing.
Yes.
Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, maybe Final oh, V4, Final.
Put me out of my misery.
Novocaine, which was another one that crept up on my list of like, what the fuck, Jack Quaid.
So I haven't actually seen the trailer.
I've seen the trailer a while ago, and that was it was an immediate hard no for me. Although it does look like fun. But still an immediate hard no for me specifically.
It looks just like because of all the body horror violence stuff.
Specifically the hot oil, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
But you haven't seen
the concept behind it, Jill?
No, I don't know anything about it.
Oh, so it's Jack Quaid, and he's a dude who has never been able to feel pain. He's like, so.
Yeah.
He can still be injured, he just can't feel pain.
Mm. So he's good. Like,
not super
so
body.
It's just like an extension of The Boys.
Kind of, but he can. Yeah.
Kind of, but he doesn't have superpowers. He can be
okay,
completely killed. Injured. He just can't feel the pain of the injuries he's receiving, and then ends up in some kind of fight situation. Yeah. And because he can't feel the pain, he does a bunch of shit. That
this seems like a really lame excuse to have a violent movie.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it looks like fun because, like, you know. Jack Quaid is fun, but not for me.
No.
What's next on the list?
How to Train Your Dragon, which we already talked about, Lilo and Stitch, and then Thunderbolts, which was the big one, and F1. We all looking forward to that?
F1?
Couldn't give a shit.
Brad Pitt.
What? F1?
Yep. It's called F1. Yeah. Brad Pitt
it's
is in F1.
F1 racing.
Oh.
Okay.
Is he a particular driver? Is it a biographical story?
No, like, just called F1.
I don't. Having not watched the trailer, it just looked like a movie about F1 racing.
Yep. You know, they're very relatable to the common man sport, Formula One racing. Yeah. Anyway.
They also played the trailer for Fantastic Four, which we have watched.
I'm obsessed.
Which I'm excited for. And they played the trailer for Mithrigan too.
I've only seen like the teaser and I can't wait. The whole premise for Megan 3 is amazing. And not Megan 3.
Mithrigan 2.
She's Megan 2. Mithrigan 2 is what I meant to say.
Yeah,
I mean, they have to obviously get to a third movie so that they can.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Have you heard what like the plot is for the second movie?
I mean, does it need to have a plot?
Well, I mean, there's a loose plot. So basically, like, big army or whatever want to get their hands on the Megan bot. Technology to create soldiers, yeah. And then Gemma has to get Megan out of storage and save the world from the army Megans.
I love that.
And hopefully there'll just be like some cunty dancing.
As long as a new
T2 basically.
Yeah, it's Terminator 2 but with more TikToks.
TT2.
Nice. I love it. I'm down for it. Why not? That first one was fun.
Yeah, there's also another film called The Studio, which I know nothing about, but has Catherine Hahn in it, so we like her. She's
great. What are we doing next week?
Doing another movie.
We are.
Yes, we are.
Just a little indie one called Captain America: Brave New World.
Yeah.
Also, who's going to be my Valentine's Day on Friday to go watch it?
I mean, if we're going to talk about it, maybe I should come watch it with you.
We have to go and watch it.
I just can't watch it on Friday.
Yeah. Like, I have a house guest and a dinner date, so I'm like, oh, that's orcs. It's gonna be like
Valentine's, Jill.
Yeah, let's do it.
Sure,
Valentine's all the way.
I mean, I'm just sad they didn't release a popcorn bucket.
Oh my god, Timothy Chalamet did like the last SNL and he made a gag about going home to his Dune popcorn bucket.
Good on Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
No, you're pronouncing it wrong. Timothée Chalamet.
He knows where his popcorn is buttered, that boy.
Yeah. And as Casper points out, we never get the good buckets anyway.
Yeah, but we can make our own.
Yeah.
You know, go and get yourself some Hulk hands and spray paint them red and then carve out a bit of the hole there and chuck stuff in it. Yeah?
You can do some paper crafts with a fleshlight, like same.
Sir, is your popcorn vibrating? Oh, terrifying.
Writing the butter is lube fan fiction as we speak.
Salty.
Oh god. No. This was supposed to be a wholesome one.
No. When? Yeah. Why?
All right.
Never been wholesome before.
By the way, yes. And if you're interested in what's going on, talk about other stuff. Severance is still going and it's getting weirder and I'm kind of down for it.
It's getting weirder.
You know.
Oh my god, that last episode was hardcore fucking weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A character completely lost their shit.
Yeah. Actually, as I said, I can't remember where I was like, I love that they just did the exact fucking thing that they, you know, you set up a big cliffhanger and then you're like, nah, fuck you. We don't pay that off at all. We go in a totally different direction. We will bait and switch you and go to a totally different fucking area.
To the point where for half of the episode you're like, is this a weird hallucination?
Yeah. What's going on?
What?
Yeah. Is this in the complex? Like.
Yep.
And
who knows?
Did what happened with Mark at the end of the last episode happen? What?
When are we? Who are we? Are we? Are we you?
Yeah. Are they clones? I don't know. They're robots.
Yeah, we don't.
I'm loving Severance, and as I did see that somebody said that they're in the throes of writing the next season right now, and I'm like, good, make sure it doesn't take fucking 3 years.
Yeah, well, let's hope. Yes, don't forget to go see Captain America, A Brave New World. And then you can stay at home for Valentine's Day and watch The Gorge.
Oh,
for
yeah.
the week after. Right. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But easy we won't beat. Judge you if you want to boycott Captain America because of the weird Israeli plot points. So.
Sure.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Oh.
Wait, what?
They've used a character that was problematic in the past, but retconned the background of that character. So they're really only the same character in name, but it is still pissed off, you know, a lot of people because of the current political climate.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of information.
More about that later.
Yes. Yeah.
Just Google it.
Maybe next week.
there's going to be a lot of people who have made up their mind to not go and watch this film no matter what.
Yeah. Can't Google it. I'm too busy Googling why I can't ship things anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Well, all this and more on next week's tea, iced tea. Yeah. Get your iced tea ready for next week. Thank you all for joining us. It was fun. Thanks in the chat. Everyone was there. And we'll see you all next week.
See you all next week, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks and good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.